We're going to transition the rest of the time in our gathering this morning to hear an update, as most of you are aware, regarding future building expansion. Give me 2.5 minutes. Just over a decade ago, a mission-minded businessman heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit to donate land so that a church body could be established for the gospel here. The God-given vision that he saw in two phases involved having a sizable facility where outreach to people could happen and stem from. This building was paid off in less than six and a half years, by God's grace in January 2013, as a result of some great financial miracles along with the faithful giving of the ECC family. At that time, council leaders were praying about what God's next step was to be for ECC to steward future growth. Eventually, we felt God was saying, move forward toward building expansion, to not only steward the growth we were experiencing, but to plan wisely and keep ahead of the game so we'd never constrain growth or new outreach opportunities. In March 2014, the core team members of ECC voted 86.5% to take preliminary steps this direction. I felt a sense of peace in this process, notwithstanding moments of hesitation and trepidation and all of that that comes with big decisions, for sure. As you know, the name of our fall capital campaign is Faith Expansion, assuming an affirmative vote on September 13th. And we're, in this process, certainly giving space for our faith to be expanded as we look ahead. And I'm very pleased to say and want to report to you in this way that the words faith expansion repeatedly come up in discussion with our church's wise and godly and faith-filled council leaders. They see the potential for not merely a future that includes additional physical space, but they're just as excited about the spiritual growth that we'll all experience in this stretching journey before us. And that's significant. As leaders, we see a primary win being everyone in the ECC family praying about how God wants them to participate in the capital campaign. I love that focus. Someone from our church recently said to me, the faith journey is always one step at a time without knowing all the details. That's why it's called a faith journey. As your pastor, I've been praying that faith and excitement will arise in your hearts through this process of discussion and decision making. What's before us is very big, but we serve a big God. And thank you to all those who are serving and putting in hours and hours, literally. And Trent, obviously, is one of those individuals, our building expansion point leader, and then Harvey will come representing council and is also on the building expansion lead team. So give them your full attention and open your heart this morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's been a long journey, and obviously this is a milestone in that journey. So I'd like to just take a moment in time and just talk about some of the recap, some of the things that have happened to get us to this point in time right now. Since our first Sunday gathering in Beaumont in 2006, Egomont Christian Church has grown to the point where we need to expand. In the near future, and put the necessary tools in place to allow us to continue to share God's good news message. However, this is far more than just a new building or their need for more space. It's about expanding our faith and serving as many people as possible in our community in the hope of leading them on their own walk with Christ. Now, we've discussed many times what our needs are for the new expansion. And I want to just take again a moment here to kind of review and highlight the top needs that we have talked about for the reason for the new building. First one here is the number of children attending on a Sunday morning has become very constraining at times. In fact, as a temporary bridge, we've had to, as we all see on the grounds, install a portable to help steward the growth in the number of our children. In addition, for the needs for expanding, Children and youth events, as well as our community use, are growing all the time. Overall, our church growth has also led to EC staffing now including one full-time office administrator and also four full-time pastors. ECC would also like to add weekday preschool and youth drop-in outreach opportunities. In addition of an additional auditorium would be the opportunity to open our doors to weddings, provide an opportunity to share through pre-marriage counseling that extra outreach and that extra ministry. And with the expansion, children would be able to use this very space that we are sitting in right now. They would be able to use the gym during the Sunday mornings when we have services. Now, I know that we are interested in looking at the drawings today. We will be able to see the drawings today, but not quite yet. Before we see those, I'd like to also just recap the road that we have traveled to get to this milestone point in our vision. If you recall, in the Vision 2020 statement, our vision was to open our doors on the new building and the new facility by 2020. Specific timelines will unfold as we meet prayerfully and we meet financial planning and construction requirements. As Pastor Marla has already stated, our core team member voted on March 2014 was an 86.5% in favor of initiating the process of fundraising and developing drawings and a budget for the purpose of the purpose of expanding the facility. From that vote, council and the BELT, which is Building Lead Expansion Team, we put together a charter. A charter was developed and signed by Pastors Council in August of 2014. From that point, which was a driving and directive document, that charter, we moved into a time of listening. We really wanted to understand and listen to everyone as much as we possibly could from your hearts what God was telling and asking you to speak to us as a lead team. What are the needs for the new building? What are the desires for uses? So we listened through multiple focus groups. So from all of that we have done from last year and beyond last year, we've come to this point in time. I am excited because we are going to be able to present drawings to you today that will show a full-sized 11,000-square-foot basement that would be fully developed, and it would also have, on top of that, a maximum two-story multi-use room above ground the same size as the basement. Again, another 11,000-square-foot footprint. In the multi-use space auditorium, we would be able to gather and sit approximately 600 people. In this gym, we have a fire code maximum of 450. So we're increasing that to 600 in the new auditorium. It will also be engineered for sound and lighting and visual capabilities that will facilitate for a connected and lively worship environment and provide for clarity in the spoken message. We spent quite a bit of time on this, and we'll spend more time in the future on that particular area. All right. Who wants to hear about the budget? All right. So we've had some estimates come in on the concept drawings, and we have come to a place of comfort with the budget. The estimated cost for the new facility is $6 million. $4 million will be needed to be raised before we can begin construction. The upcoming three-year capital campaign, faith capital campaign, is an opportunity to help us get us there. The other 2 million is the maximum amount ECC would be able to borrow based on the provisions of PAOC policy. I will talk about that more in the future, in the sense of the budget. And we can talk about that more after this more formal presentation at the different stations. But we do feel comfortable with that number, that with that number, we're going to be able to provide everything that we're going to show on the screens if we could pull up the drawings. After we show you the drawings, Harvey will come and also speak a bit more. And then at the very end, I'll come back and just close up before we move to some stations and some opportunities for everyone here to take a handout and take away from this time before we get to the 13th of September for the vote. So we're very happy to present. If we can go to the first screen. We're very happy to present today the finalized concept drawings. And we feel comfortable again that the estimates that we've had come in, we will be able to provide the items you're now going to see. So if we can go to the first screen, I'm just going to have to grab my little mouse here. So what do you think? It doesn't look like a portable. So what you're looking at there is obviously an exterior view of the more southern-faced two-story entrance point for the new building. We have a main entrance, obviously, at the bottom. The upper part is showing design for lots of window space. And to the west, we have more new building. It'll be a little bit easier to see in another drawing, but that's not part of the design. We'll go to the next slide, and we'll take a look at the more eastern face of the same view. Here you'll see more of the entrance that's on the east that would allow people to go to another entrance on the main floor that would get you more into the cafe, into the ground level cafe area. What you can't really see on the very back side, on the north side, is another entrance point that would take us down into the basement. And we can show that a little bit later on the plan views. Now, what we are presenting to the Beaumont Town Council is this, of course, but also the development committee is seeing another color as well. So they're seeing this color, which is the orange different motif here, but we're also going to be able to show a different color, which is the next slide. We're showing them also a gray version of the model pattern there. So right now, this is currently before the development board at Beaumont. Again, Beaumont Council, or Beaumont's development board. We are showing them a couple of different colors. We are showing them some variety here because we don't know exactly how they are going to react from the French requirements for building exteriors. So we're in the development of that still. And we're not, like you say, not sure how they're going to react, even though the main development officer we have been working with has been very positive and accepting of what we're showing. So I think she's going to help us, hopefully direct and guide those discussions with the other development people in the town. So let's take a look at the next slide. It's the same as the other one, but it shows, again, from the gray model look, it just shows the same eastern side of the building. Let's take a look at the bird's eye view. The next slide shows that. Is that the next slide? All right, it's okay. I thought there was another slide in there, but what we'll do is we'll start with the next slide is showing, I think, is the basement, which is now a plan view of the basement. If we can go to that one. Right, that's the basement floor. So here, what you're seeing on, if I can have the mouse, if that's possible. No problem. There it is. Oh, it's a big mouse. Okay, good. I can't lose it, even with my eyes. All right, so everything here on the gray is what we currently have right now. This is, and all the drawings, this is a plan view. So you're cutting off the top of the buildings and you're looking from the downward view. So it's called plan view. So you're seeing things from the top down, and we're looking right now in this area where the mouse is gone. There it is again. All right, so this is all existing building in the basement. Obviously, in the basement, we don't have, this is just, there's nothing here, obviously. We have in the basement the fireside room. We have some other rooms down below. This is a good landmark that I'll be talking about a lot. This is the elevator and our downstairs washrooms. So let's go to the next slide, and we'll scan, we'll zoom in on this area here, which is the new basement area. So the new basement area here is, again, from a landmark point, this is the elevator. When we come down the stairs, from the north side, we have a set of stairs, and we have now a new hallway we're showing that would take us from the set of stairs coming out on the north, and we'd be able to enter into the youth area. So this whole area from where I'm showing all the way around here to here to here is approximately, we're getting close to about 4,500 square feet for youth. With youth activities, for youth drop-in events, for the growing youth population in our church, and the community activities that we could hold down here. We've placed, like I say, a stairwell coming down from the existing, an entrance into this area from the existing stairwell. We also have a stairwell coming from the outside going downstairs into this little foyer area to get into the space. Here we've stuck Jeff into his own little office. Actually, it's pretty big and a lot bigger than he has right now, but unfortunately no shark tank for Jeff. We have also a rec room, which is going to be a room that the youth can set up in the ways that they would like to set up without having to tear down every time. So it's their own area. As we move out into the more open area, what some people have called the youth chapel area, we are seeing a permanent stage here as well, downstairs, for their events. We are seeing also here on this side a concession area where there would be some abilities to serve food, have some drinks for youth events. And also we're showing some additional storage here and a new mechanical room as well. So mechanical room that would hold obviously electrical, plumbing, other items such as a central vacuum system, for janitorial requirements. Coming out of that area in the basement, from again the elevator side, again from a point of reference, when we come out right now, we run into what's called the elevator, hydronics for the elevator, and that is going to be removed and put into the new mechanical room over here, so that when we leave the elevator, we have a direct access to a hallway system that's going to be on the south side. From that elevator, we can get into these classrooms. We have four classrooms, 1, 2, 3, and 4. These will be for children's ministry. They will be also for preschool, day school during the week, eventually. Is the hope and the goal there. So each of these classrooms has its own Jack and Jill bathroom. Here's one and here's two. So two rooms share one bathroom. They would also be able to hold approximately the size of about 20 children per classroom. So there's quite an expansion there. getting into this area, again, like I've said, we can come down through the elevator, through our normal system. We also have an exterior door right here. From that exterior, actually, you're not seeing the door right now, but the exterior comes in here and goes down these stairs. We will have an office in here as well for children's ministry and storage, and also for the preschool requirements. I think that kind of covers the highlights for the basement. I think we'll move on to the main floor. Again, what we're seeing here is what we currently have for facility. This is the gym where we are right now. If they were to draw a little stick man, I'd be standing right here. And what we can do is see that we are expanding our facility, again, by 11,000 square feet. You can see proportionally that we've taken over the whole grass area with this footprint for the main floor. Let's go to the next zoomed-in section now here for the main floor. Thank you. Okay, so again, always good to see the elevator here as a point of reference. We would have the main entrance for this new facility. New main floor would be on the south, kind of south corner. There's a set of stairs that would be coming in that would allow people to come into this foyer area. Again, as I had already mentioned, on the east side, there's another set of stairs that would allow you to come in here. From our existing main entrance on the south, we would be able to come in through this area into the existing foyer and go through these doubled set of doors also into the main foyer area. So there's quite a few entrance points into this main floor. Let's talk about the main auditorium here next. The main auditorium has a stage. This is the stage outlined right here. That stage, essentially, is almost the same size, except obviously not recessed back into what we have right now. It would be obviously extended outwards from the corner of the building into the auditorium. And it's approximately the same size, a little bit smaller, but we have to concede some space on the stage, and there was the design, there was development, and there was some testing of that, which we're really not giving up anything that can't be given up according to the people who have done that work. But we had to concede a little bit of space on the stage so that we would still be able to maintain enough seating area on the main floor that would meet most of our requirements for what we're trying to achieve, which is, again, we've mentioned 600 people in this new auditorium for seating capacity. So you see here that we have four main zones for seating. We also have a sound booth sitting out here. And we also have a server room for technical requirements just in the back of the meeting, and some storage. We would also, again, still have storage underneath the stage, and there'd also be a false wall on the stage to be able to store more things for audio, visual, and lighting requirements. We have multiple entrances into the main auditorium. We have a double door here, two sets of double doors, and another set of double doors here. So we'd have a center aisle, which is something that many people talked about as a requirement, as a need, as expression of for weddings. This is something that would be much more preferred. So we've listened, and we have provided that type of design. Never get a bride upset. All right, well, let's move out of the main auditorium there. Let's move into the foyer. Now, the foyer, let me just start. Before we move out of the main auditorium, I just want to say that seating allows for just under 500 people. So we talked about 600, 500 doesn't match. We've thought of two things there. We could either keep our foyer smaller and allow for more seating in our auditorium to get much closer to that 600 number. We just didn't have the space. And of course, in our focus groups, what we heard time and time again was that people expressed a desire to have a foyer with good lighting, warm colors, pl- place where people could meet, to have a cafe. So we just didn't feel that we could shrink the foyer any farther than we already have, and it's significantly bigger than, of course, what we do have now. But we didn't feel that we could shrink it small enough to gain 600 people on one level in the main auditorium. It just wasn't possible. We don't have enough room where the portables sit to make that happen. So that's why we've, in the next drawing, after a little bit more talking on the main floor, I'll show you the next story, which is the second story. We have a balcony, we have a mezzanine area. So we'll talk about that next, but as a quick reference point, when you see this dotted line that goes all the way around here, and you see it again going this direction, and you see a couple of set of stairs here and here, that everything within these two dotted lines represents the space on the second story for where the mezzanine and balcony would be. So we're obviously looking through that right now, and we can talk a little bit more now about the foyer area. The foyer area is approximately 3,000 square feet. We have taken up in the foyer area a room for the nursery, as we can see here. Now, the nursery was a challenge again because we kept running out of space. We kept running out of space, and we didn't have any more space, and the town wasn't going to give us any more space, and we're not going to take up parking space because that's another issue that we had to deal with the town. So we have to maintain our parking stall requirements to be able to have as many people in our facility as we would want. So what do we do for the nursery to actually be able to have a large enough nursery that would make everyone feel comfortable, that would provide the required space for a good working environment, good play environment for the children? We had to create my mouse. There, thank you. It just keeps going after the somewhere. We had to create what we're affectionately calling the baby bump on the building. Because the wall should have come just straight out here. Now, it doesn't look like much of a baby bump, but I guess it's still there because we needed more space. We added at least 1 meter out on that side of the south side of the building just to give the nursery enough space. Now, you see that same expansion of space both in the basement, and you'll see it as well on in the second story as well. But that allowed that nursery to have the space it needed to function properly. We've also created a bit of a greeting room, greeting area, and as a new area for people who are new to the church. We've shown here an info table, and we've also shown on this side at Tim Hortons. No, I mean, it's the cafe. No drive-through. But this whole area here is going to be dedicated from about this area here. This whole area is dedicated to the cafe. So we have a countertop. We have a cool storage area. We have a sink. So there's a lot of things we can do in this space for meeting needs, for coffee, for fellowship, and also for perhaps small groups during the week. We've also included here, a little harder to see, smaller, but that's a janitor's room. So we take away from our focus groups. We heard that janitors wanted more space, needed more space, and we're trying to do our best to show that. We have a mop sink in there, and we would also have, again, more central vacuum. Well, that's the main floor. Let's move up to the second floor. Same idea here. We've got existing main floor area. We've got the classrooms that we're seeing here on the back. Oopsie. And we have the elevator as our landmark. From there, we could go from the elevator upstairs. We can go back into this double door section into the mezzanine area. So that's one way to get from our existing building through double doors into the upper mezzanine area. We see these set of stairs here. Actually, let's go from here back into a more zoomed-in view. I'm just trying to show you that reference point again for what that looks like. the next build, our next slide. We're showing here the double doors. We're showing two sets of stairs from the main floor going up into the mezzanine area, which is this whole area right here. Up in the mezzanine area, we're showing a fellowship seating area where people can take their coffees from downstairs, they can go upstairs, they can have fellowship, they can just enjoy a time that's not on the main floor, that if they need space, we have that space up on the second floor. Then we have multiple areas we're showing here for seating on the balcony that surrounds the auditorium on the inside. We've got multiple doors, and we've got two rows of seating. This extra seating capacity in the balcony is approximately 123. So that takes us from just under 500 downstairs to the addition of the balcony, and we have over 600 people for our capacity. So we're meeting the goals that we had asked to be met by both council, by charter, and by folks who have spoken to us. So we're planning for that future. I think that's all we really have to show. I mean, is there one more slide on here at all? That's it. So I lost a slide as well. No problem. I guess I wanted to just say that this has been a collaborative effort. Thank you for everybody on Belt and others in council and others who on the different ministry teams who have spent so many hours in designing and putting effort to really thinking this through, for all the feedback that we had from you folks, from our ECC family. This is our plan. This is what we've come together as a family to put as priorities for design and use. So I just thank God that it's come to this point where we can finally show it to you. I think Harvey's going to say something now.
Thank you, Trent, for that detailed explanation that you've given us. And I want to take a moment on behalf of council to focus on the $4 million cash down payment that we need to start the build. Now, the important thing that we need to address here is that will be accomplished in part by the capital campaign, which will be our first step towards conquering this challenge. But there's two important points that we need to bring to your attention. That first of all, though we have a $4 million need, the capital campaign has no stipulated goal for raising a specific amount. So if we raise $4 million in 3 years, praise the Lord. If we raise $3 million in 3 years, praise the Lord. If we raise $2 million in 3 years, praise the Lord. It is just our first step that we're going to take in meeting this primary need to get our building started. Secondly, there is no time limit or deadline to raise the $4 million need to start construction. Yes, it's true, the capital campaign will be a 3-year commitment that we'll come into, but we realize that it may take more time to raise the full $4 million. Yes, the Lord may do a miracle and help us raise that money in 3 years, but however, it seems less prudent and more reckless for us to start laying down arbitrary deadlines from our own to extract a timing of raising the $4 million. Let's just trust the Lord together and take it one day at a time and leave the schedule with Him. The $4 million question or the $6 million question that we have in front of us can be very overwhelming, and it can eclipse actually our fundamental goal. What is our fundamental goal? It's not to raise the $4 million. It's not to build the building or eventually pay off the entire amount. The real goal for us is to see the building filled and allow the Lord to bless His work so that the new facility is full of people coming to Christ. That is the payback for this endeavor, as we trust the Lord for His kingdom work. Yes, amen. Now, we see that vision in front of us, but we also have to see the first steps that are in front of us as well, because if you look out into the clouds too long, you're going to run into the trails and get hurt. So we have to look at what's on the ground in front of us, and what is immediately in front of us right now is the September 13th vote. On September 13th, 2 weeks from now, after an abbreviated Sunday message, or service, I should say, we will have a special congregational meeting where members will be asked to vote on the following motion. I approve of moving forward with the ECC building expansion. Yes or no? In March, if you recall, in our last core meeting, we voted to go in favor of initiating the process of discovering drawings and the potential cost of the new facility, which we now have. The March motion was simply a preamble to making the real decision that's before us in 2 weeks. We will need to have at least a 75% or better vote in favor of this motion for the church to proceed with moving forward with this expansion. If the vote falls under 75% on this motion, we will effectively stop this expansion initiative in its tracks. Therefore, we will have no need to have a capital campaign. There will be no shovel in the ground. There will be no construction work. Essentially, everything will come to a stop. However, with a pass of 75% or better for this motion, we have the fodder and the foundation and authority to move forward with the capital campaign and eventually the building expansion. So this vote is really, really critical. Everything else is second to what happens on September 13th. So it's awfully exciting what's going to happen in 2 weeks. It may very well be one of the most exciting meetings and most important meetings we have as core members together. So please spread the word around, and let's make sure we have the highest quorum count possible and come prayerfully prepared to cast your vote. I'd like to conclude with these words, or this idea, which I think is very important, that we would look to the future, first of all, with excitement and anticipation. Yes, $4 million cash? That's a big question. But allow me to express these words to you on behalf of council. If we can say anything to you as council, along with Pastor Marl, is simply this: do not be afraid. This is an opportunity for us to step forward in faith, trusting not only for the completion of this project, but far more importantly, that we seize this day, as it is the last days, to ask God by His Holy Spirit to fill this new expanded facility with new people coming to Christ. That's really good. We want to leave that message with you this morning. But the nagging question still remains: how in the world are we going to raise $4 million cash? Well, it's one step at a time. But we are also in a coffee culture around here. I would like to suggest that perhaps we begin paying that down one coffee at a time. Perhaps you've seen this cup before. It says Tim Hortons on there. Laura and I yesterday went to get some coffees yesterday, and we got a large coffee. Two milks in it, of course. No sugar. $1.90. And if every person who calls ECC their home church set aside an equivalent amount equal to a large Tim Hortons coffee every day for the next 3 years, we will raise $1.3 million. Well, we didn't just go to Tim Hortons. We also went to Starbucks as well. I don't have the cup with me. But we ordered a grande vinte, well, not a grande, a grande cafe latte. I don't understand all that Roman talk. But anyways, you know what I'm saying. It's delicious, whatever it's called. That costs $4.46. And if everyone who calls ECC their home church would set aside the equivalent of the cost of a grande cafe latte every day for the next 3 years, we will raise $3 million. Well, let's not cut ourselves short. It's actually $3,035,547.36, because every penny counts. The point is, do not be afraid. Just simply ask God what you can to commit to this project, and that will be sufficient. I don't think it was by accident this week that in my personal readings, I came across a story in the Gospel of Mark, which I have to just preach just for a quick second. It relates to the story where Jesus is at the temple, And he's watching people put money into the treasury. It says in that story that many rich people came forward and put large sums of money into the offering plate. And he never said anything. It wasn't until a widow, a woman, came forward and just put a few pennies into the treasury. It was at that moment that Jesus said to his disciples, it was this woman who has given more. Why? Because she gave sacrificially to the Lord. We're asking you to consider giving unto the Lord. It's a biblical reference for us to follow. In Jesus' eyes, it's the attitude from which we come from and the level of our sacrifices we give to him. Oftentimes, this phrase has been mentioned in the last couple weeks amongst conversations and emails with those who are involved with this process, and it's this. Our ultimate goal is that every ECCer sincerely ask God how he would have them involved in this capital campaign, and then be obedient and do it. That will be a win for us as we individually take that onus upon ourselves and just ask the Lord personally what we can do to contribute to his work. In conclusion, you have already received a lot of information, and I know it's overwhelming. It hit us pretty hard, and I know that with you, it's quite an impact too. And you know what? That's okay. That's why this information's been shared 2 weeks before the vote. And along the way, of course, after the service, you're going to have plenty of opportunity to gather materials and talk and ask questions. But I want to bring attention to a very special meeting. It's also in the bulletin on September 10th. That's 10 days from now. Well, 11 days from now. 12 days from now. Well, something like that. On September 10th, downstairs in the fireside room will be a special informal open house for you to come forward to ask questions and give comments in relating to everything that you've heard right now as a preamble to September 13th. Everyone is welcome to come, and it's important for you to consider that. So it's exciting, and we're looking forward to sharing this trip with you as we trust the Lord together. Amen?